You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Opinionated 54 Yards, man. And today, you just got me, the Lone Ranger. But it's okay. We only have two games to cover, unfortunately. We're at that point of the season where it's only two more games left, which sucks. You know, we all year, we wanted to be here. And then it just goes by so fast. And it's just like, dude, where did the season go, man? But nonetheless, semi-final matchups. I mean, hey, anytime you have college football playoff matchups, it's always a great one. But we'll be covering those today. Oh, man. Last week, I'm going to say there was upsets. I'm going to say I was not obviously, if you listen to the previous episode, I was not expecting Ole Miss to beat Georgia at all. Ole Miss fans probably were. But other than that, I don't think anybody had Ole Miss beating Georgia. You know, Kirby off of a bye, you know, one of the great minds in the game. Great second half adjuster and whatnot. And, I mean, that game was just electric. It was just score after score. It was just like the first game, you know. And I didn't think it was going to be that way. I didn't think it was going to be coming down to the wire like that. You know, final score of 39-34, I believe, or something like that. Or 35-40 or something. Somewhere around there. Excuse me. And I just was not expecting that. So, shout out to Ole Miss, man. Y'all took care of business when not many people weren't expecting y'all to. That was the last game of the night. First game of the night was... The first game was Miami-Ohio State. Was not expecting that either, man. I was trying to ride for the boys, man. I was trying to ride for Ohio State. You know, I picked them all season long to go back-to-back, even after losing the Big Ten Championship. I was like, hey, man, this happened last year. You beat Ohio State right before the playoffs, and they just come out swinging. They came out and got swung on. Miami looked real good. You know, defensively, Miami's there. They can compete with anybody. They're going to keep that offense in the game. Now it's up to offense to, you know, convert anything. It could be just field goals, you know, but that defense is still going to keep you in the game. For the keys of that game, I said you got to be able to run the ball, and you have for Ohio State to win. I forgot what Cam said for Miami to win, but for Ohio State to win, I said you got to be able to run the ball, and you have to be able to convert third downs, and you have to protect the ball. So you're a great protect the ball all season long. And what happens? He throws a pick six, and that just also, you know, kind of bust open the game. I think they're down 14-0 at that point in the playoffs. 14 down 14 is a lot, especially when you have a defense like that who's not going to allow much offense at all. And it's because it kind of like seemed like you kind of just always expected Ohio State to like score or be around or come back and win, but that was never the case. You know, Miami just kind of ran away with this game. And Julian ended up throwing two picks. He threw one at the end. But, you know, they won the turnover battle. And you're not going to win many games losing the turnover battle. Let me see. Yeah, they were 3 of 10 for third downs. And Miami was 7 for 14. So 30% to 50%. Hey. Two turners to one turnover. Don't think Carson Beck threw a pick, though.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Oh, I forgot what the turnover was. It's a fumble, I believe. And then 153 yards for Miami, 45 yards. 45 yards rushing for, well, take that back. I'm not going to count 45 yards because it's negative 42 yards for Julian Sain. College football, we count quarterback sacks as negative yards. Don't know why we do that. But it's beyond me. But they got 87 yards. 87 yards rushing. So 153 to 87. Lost there. So those are my keys to victory. And they didn't win in any single one. And the score showed, you know, they lost 24 to 14. And Miami had the game basically from the second quarter on. First quarter was kind of a stalemate, you know. There's a lot of three and outs and whatnot, but they controlled this game, and that defense looked really, really, really good. Bane is elite, man. Bane is elite. And then after that, that was New Year's Eve night. Then to open it up was Tech versus Oregon. And Cam and I both picked Oregon to win this game, man. I mean, Tech to win this game. And I mean, I was on the bubble, you know. I picked Oregon originally, and then I went with Tech. And I just went with Tech just to, you know. For me, there's something missing with Oregon. There's just something that's not fair. But you know, this game showed otherwise. They played a complete game of football. Yeah, they didn't score many points in college. 23 isn't a lot, but that's a lot of points on a defense like Texas Tech. Texas Tech's defense kind of kept them in the game. They had the ability to, like, you know, if they scored, like, they're right there in the game. Like, that's how this game was. And, you know, like, look, Oregon scored 3 in the first, 3 in the second, 7 in the third, 10 in the fourth. Like, that's not that many points. Like, you score a touchdown in just the first half, you're winning 7-6. You score a touchdown in the second half, it's 7-13. You're still within 6 points. Like, all you have to do is score, and you're still, like, in the game. And, you know, momentum's a big thing in college football. You get that momentum going, you could have, you know, 2 more scores, 3 more scores after that. But they couldn't. Oregon's defense looked legit, man. Oregon's defense looked really good. People probably, I mean, we'll talk about it here, but another matchup with them in Indiana. And Indiana, you know, they went to Eugene, Oregon, and beat them. And so, you know, Oregon's not happy about that. They want their lick back. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. We'll get into it shortly, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. But sucks for Tech, man. They spent so much money, man. And first round, I don't know if it's a first round bye curse. I don't know if you won a first round bye because there's only one team who's won from last year and this year after a bye, which is Indiana. And then the game is next, and they dog walked Alabama. But that first round might be a curse, man. You might not want to get that bye. You might want to play the game. But, you know, Tech, man, they spent all this money this offseason to basically be in a position to win the national championship. And technically they were. You know, they made the playoffs, had a first-round bye. They're the fourth seed. So they did what they needed to do. And this kind of goes to, you know, the BYU argument. It's like, how can we say BYU is a playoff team when they got dog walked by Tech twice, and then Tech goes into the playoffs and gets dog walked? That also shows you the strength of the Big 12. Like, the Big 12 had a lot of, I mean, not a lot, but, like, BYU was good, Tech was good. I think it was, like, one more team making a run. I think Houston was, they would have, like, kind of stayed undefeated or had one loss. They could have been in the mix. But Utah, too. Utah was up there. But it just goes to show you that it, like, the Big 12 just isn't that good. And clearly the ACC isn't either, because it, I mean, I guess, I mean, the ACC is not good as a whole. Miami is just now getting back to what they were. So I can't really say that either. But as a whole, the ACC is just not that great. I mean, the champion of the ACC had 5 losses, you know? In any other conference, that's not happening. So to my point is, I think going forward, we might only see one Big 12 team, like, in permanently. And that's just the champion. And, you know, the obviously every coach is going to vouch for their team. And the BYU coach was like, Texas Tech's the best football team in America. People are going to see soon. And, you know, I remember when he said that, and it was after they lost. And then the championship, the Big 12 championship. And they go in and get dog walked here. How can we just start taking them serious? That's all I have to say on that. I know Big 12 fans, Tech fans, BYU fans will say differently, but at the end of the day, it is all about matchups. And this just wasn't a great matchup for them. That's one of the best defenses in the nation versus one of the best offenses in the nation. Typically, the defense always does better. And it was kind of an even matchup, but at the end of the day, Tech just pulled away. I mean, Oregon just pulled away with it, man. Tech's defense kept them in the game, but Oregon just ended up pulling away with it, and they won. So, survive in advance. That's all it's about, man. That's all it's about. And then last but not least, man, the least competitive game of them all. I was not expecting this at all. I did not think this outcome was going to be like this. I thought the game was going to be a lot tighter. I said Alabama by 10. I thought Alabama was going to go and pull this, at that point, a miracle, looking at the final score. But Alabama just, from the start, I can't even say that from the start, because the first quarter was very competitive. It was very defensive, you know. Nobody scored. And it was really the second quarter on is when Indiana started getting after it. And, you know, shout out Kirk Cinetti, man. He coaches a great team. They're a great, great young man. And not a lot of, you know, quote-unquote talented players on that team, so to say. When I mean talented, I mean like the blue chips, the 4-stars, the 5-stars, stuff like that. Like, Indiana, Alabama. When you hear those two names for college football purposes, you're gonna be like, oh, I mean, it's Alabama. What? And that just goes to show you that what Kirk has done with that program. Is he's turned it around and built a culture where it's like it doesn't matter what your star is or who you are. We're playing as a team. We're going to compete as a team, and we're going to win this thing as a team. And that's what they do. They play team football, man. Nobody on that team is selfish, and you can tell. They have a great quarterback leader in Mendoza. He's always, you know, picking everybody up he's very comfortable in that offense, very aware of the defenses. And, I mean, they just do a great job playing team football, man. That's the best way to say it. I think that defense kind of surprised everybody this year. Maybe not some people, but to me, they did. To me, that defense, I just didn't expect them to, I guess, be as dominant as they are. I mean, the way Alabama looked against Oklahoma, just like from an offensive standpoint, it looked to be better, and then kind of catching a stride again. And then they got some weapons back. They got some pieces back that they're missing. O-line, running back, whatnot. And I was like, okay, Alabama's getting some weapons back. I could see them winning this game or it being very competitive. And I can't really call it a fluke the Ohio State game because they went to Oregon and they won the game. And they won some very difficult games. And then, you know, Penn State, Iowa, Oregon. And then, they, you know, they held Ohio State to minimal points, which besides Texas, nobody else did that. And I was like, okay, maybe that was a one-off. I don't know. Maybe it was a one-time thing. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to do that to Alabama. Lo and behold, they were flying around on that field. They were stopping everything. And Alabama even brought in their backup quarterback, which I thought their backup quarterback was Keelon Russell. And I thought that's who that was going to come in the game, but it was Austin Mack. And when he came in the game, they started moving the ball a little bit, and they almost scored, but I think they had a turnover in the red zone. I'm not too sure. I forgot what happened. Or maybe they went for it and they didn't score. I don't remember. But they're moving the ball a little bit, and I think what's his name got hurt? Ty Simpson ended up getting hurt. He was in a hoodie on the sideline right before half. So I think he ended up getting hurt, and that's what brought Austin Mack in. And I was hoping to see Keelon Russell. That would have been cool. I've been excited to see him. And the game's out of hand anyways. You're probably not going to come back, so why not just put him in? He didn't play much this season. But, yeah, Indiana just dog walked him, man. It was bad. It was very bad. So that brings us to today's episode. On Thursday, we got Miami Ole Miss at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. Really, that one's in Arizona. And then Friday, we got Indiana Oregon at the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and that's in Atlanta. And that's to take a spot into Miami Gardens. You know, Miami wants to win this game, man. Have a natty in the home stadium, bro. Oh, that'll be nice, man. So let's kick it off with Miami, man. Miami Ole Miss. I was not expecting Ole Miss to be in this position. At this point, you can't count the boys out. Trinidad is off the chain, man. He's really good. I know early in the middle of the season, kind of like maybe his fourth, fifth game in. I don't know if y'all remember, but I asked Cam, I was like, should he win the Heisman or should he be in the Heisman race? And he was like, nah, he missed too many games. And then Cam said on whatever day they played, Friday or whatever, he should have won the Heisman or should have been in the race. But I noticed that early on just because he had four or five games straight of 400 all-purpose yards, whether it was running and throwing or just throwing. He was doing it all. And he just, this whole season, he hasn't stopped. And he's trying to come back, which doesn't make sense to me because I feel like he's personally done enough for people to recognize who he is and up his draft stock by a drastic amount. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't even on boards last year. Maybe he was low, but I feel like he's a second, third round pick this draft. Maybe first round just because it's a light quarterback draft or they're not that great. We don't know what Dante Moore's doing yet. It seems like he doesn't want to go to the Jets, and it seems like the Raiders are going to take Mendoza at number one. But why would you not take that opportunity? Who cares about the 6 year of college, man? I feel like you've really done enough, and you've really established yourself and shown what you can do and be a good dual-threat quarterback. You did in SEC. They're in the playoffs. You're a game away from competing in the national championship, and you have to go up against another great defense. And if you can do it against that, why not third name in the hat, man? Why not just take the risk? It's the NFL. You might not get this opportunity again. Real world right here. You can get hurt next season, and then you can't go to the NFL. But it's beyond him, man. Kwon Lacy coming back. He's been playing phenomenal this year. Great, great, great running back. And then you got the receivers, Harrison Wallace and Stribling. Harrison Wallace is probably his go-to target, I would say. Or him and Stribling are kind of even, but I feel like Harrison is more of the deeper threat or just gets more yak yards. Because he's cold, man. That boy can fly around the field. So they have weapons, you know. Is Kawhi Lazy catch the ball? I mean, 28 catches, 173 yards, so it's about 6 yards a catch. I'm taking that. A little dump-off play, you need 5 yards, you need 6 yards, or even if it's first and 10. You make a second and four, I'm taking that. I'm taking that all day long. And then, you know, this is why defenses have trouble against them, because you have to worry about Lacey, who can catch the ball at the backfield. You have to worry about, you know, Stribling and Harris. And you have to worry about Trinidad running the ball, which he's very effective at. So this is kind of what sets them apart from other teams, is his ability to run the football and run it effectively. Because he's not going to run you over. He's just going to run by you. That's him. And he has a good arm. He makes great reads, great throws. And let's see. He is 21-3. So 21 touchdowns, 3 picks. I'll take a 7-1 ratio. I'll take that any day. I will take that any day. He protects the football very well. Does he have fumbles?
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
It doesn't show me. It doesn't show me. But sorry, I was looking at something. But yeah, man, at the beginning of the year, you know, the game against, no, that was, what game was it? I'm thinking of Auburn, but I was also not expecting this defense to have a turnaround as it's had this season. I wasn't expecting them to be this good. And keep you in ball games, or sometimes when it's not the defense stepping up, it's the offense stepping up, and the offense winning the game. Obviously, they couldn't do that against Georgia the first time, but they turned around and did it the second time, and that's the game that mattered, because it was the playoffs. Like I said, survive in advance. You win that, then you go to the next round. You lose that, you go home. And they stepped up when it mattered. Offense stepped up when it mattered as well. So this defense is kind of like a hit or miss, but with the offense like that, they're the side that can keep you in the ball game, more to say. Just because they can score like that, that's always nice. But this game will be interesting, man. I think this game is gonna be a high scoring game, or higher scoring, I should say, from the other Miami games. I don't think you're going to see 3 points. I don't think you're going to see 14 points. I think Ole Miss has the ability to get up on them. I think the stage might have been too big for Julian Sain, or he just doesn't. He hasn't had to deal with adversity or fighting back from adversity, and I feel like that kind of hurt him as well. But when you're playing a kid who has nothing to lose, and he's playing on free time, so to say, it's dangerous, and that's what Trinidad Chambliss is doing. He's playing on borrowed time. He's a fifth year senior and could be a sixth year senior, who knows. But on the Miami side, you just got to keep doing what you've been doing the past 2 weeks, even at the end of the season. You just got to keep playing good defensive football. Do not turn the ball over, Carson Beck. As soon as he starts becoming Carson Beck or having a Carson Beck game, that's kind of when it kind of goes downhill. But there's really not much to say about Miami, dude. They're firing on all cylinders, and they could win it all, man. They could win it all. They have the team to beat anybody in the field. Like, that's where they're at. And it's weird to say because I think Ole Miss can beat Miami, but I don't think Ole Miss can beat anybody in the field. But I think Miami could beat anybody in the field. I think it's just matchups. That's all it is. But don't turn the football over. Continue to run the ball. Have success there. Continue to keep getting stops on the defensive side, holding people to X amount of points. Winning third downs. Continue to win third downs on defense. And create turnovers. I mean, they've just been playing great football. And there's nothing to complain about. And it sucks because we need an SEC team to win this thing. And it's not. I don't think it's going to happen this year. It's going to be Big Ten or ACC, clearly. And I'm going to go Miami winning this game, man. They're playing the right football at the right time. I don't think you can always win track meets. And I feel like more or less that's kind of where Ole Miss is at. And apparently they're losing all their assistants to go back to LSU, which is dumb because if you have the ability to compete for a national championship and just say win the national championship, why would you not want that on your resume? You know? So they're I don't know, man. If that's the case, it'll be interesting. Obviously, they still got their head coach coaching them, so that's always good. But the guys are ballers, and they just kind of just seem to go play no matter what. So this could be a – I mean, the spread right now, is it opened at 3? It's Miami – it opened Miami minus 3. Now it's up to 3.5, Miami. So they're already picking a tight spread. I think it might be somewhere around there. Like I said, I have Miami winning. I don't know by how much. 3-4 is probably more comfortable than 3. 3 is probably more comfortable than 4. But I could also see Ole Miss winning this game, but I just don't think they will. But I could see them covering the spread. I could see the over definitely hitting in this game. It's at 52.5. I think each team could score 21. So that puts you at what, 42? Actually, the over under might be pushing it. It might be like a 28-21 type game. Or like a 27-24 type game. That's still at 51. I don't know.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
I mean, that's kind of a scary one. Kind of looking cute right there. But we'll see, man. We'll see. Carson Beck protect the football. Mark Fletcher continue to keep running the ball. Mr. Bain keep causing havoc on the defensive side. And really, that whole defense. Not even him. It's that whole defense. Whole defense is – them boys are good. And the young cat, man, Malachi Toney, man. Hey, he's been getting a lot of double coverages, you know, zoned up and whatnot to keep the football away from him. Just continue to go to him. Continue to feed him the football, man. Just get him active whatever way you can. Just keep doing that because eventually something's going to happen from it. The kid's electric. He needs the ball in his hands. Let him go and make something happen. But I'm going to go... I like that 27-21 Miami. I like that 27-24 Miami. Somewhere around there. I got Miami winning this game and advancing to the national championship, playing in front of the home crowd. That's insane, man. In front of the home crowd. Whew. That'd be electric, man. That'd be, I mean, what a perfect way to end it. Which is crazy because they play like 90% of their games in the state of Florida. I feel like at home, we get at, in Miami as well. So to play the national championship in Miami, that is illegal. Because I'm pretty sure it's at their stadium. It's at Hard Rock, right? Yeah, it's at Hard Rock. It's where they play their home games. So it's just, it's literally a home game for them. That's if they win. But next, Oregon, Indiana. Like I said, a rematch from the regular season. Indiana already beat them once at Eugene, 30-20. And I know, I mean, hey, Dan Lanning's a psychopath, man. And I know he wants his lick back. I know those players want their lick back. Hopefully they're fully healthy. I know they're missing Evan Stewart still. DeCorin Moore played this past game. But if they have a healthy offense with their linemen and their full receiving staff, I think they can be a very scary team. I think Dante Moore is better than Fernando Mendoza. So for if he can get this offense rolling, I think they'll do great things, and I think they can win this game. But the thing is, they have to – I feel like in this game, they I feel like they have to control the ball a little bit. I feel like this is a game where it's going to come down to, like, time of possession. Because Indiana can also give you those long, methodical drives. They have the backs to do it. They run a two-back system. They have the backs to do it. Fernando Mendoza does a great job of finding the open guy as well, extending the drives. And running the ball, so to say. He, you know, he'll step up in the pocket a little bit and run that rock. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to count Indiana out. I've said there's never going to be another undefeated champion again, but they're kind of looking like it's going to be that case. I mean, they got dogs on their team, man. I mean, like I said, they play great team football. No one's better than the next person next to them. Oh, my God. And I feel like, I think this game right here, Oregon, Indiana, I feel like this is the national championship. Every year we've kind of had it. Last year was Texas, Ohio State. The year before that, I can't remember what it was. But Texas, Washington. No, because Washington didn't win. But I feel like this is the national championship game, as in whoever wins this game is probably going to win the natty. And I think Indiana's probably going to take care of business here again. You can't count them out. You just can't. I mean, you see what they're doing to teams. Everybody was counting Ohio State the best team in the nation. And they went in the Big Ten Championship, and they won the game. It wasn't, you know, a high-scoring game, but they still found a way to win the game. And that's just kind of what they do. You saw it at Oregon. You saw it against Iowa, and you saw it against Penn State. And I guess Alabama, even though they dog-walked them, or Oregon, I mean, Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, and then the Alabama game, they found a way to win that game. But for all of those five games, they're tougher games, they found ways to win. And that's kind of what they continue to do. It'll be interesting to see how Dan Lanning does bounce back. The last time you played a team twice that was very good, he lost to, which was Washington. He lost to them twice that year, so maybe history repeats itself again. Indiana takes care of business. I would really like to see Oregon win, though. It would just be better for the – I mean, I don't even know. I can't even say that. I just say it'd be better for the sport if Oregon went or Oregon won. But, like, it's Indiana, a team that's – you don't think of Indiana for a football team. They've never been good. You know, it's always just been, you know, a basketball school mainly. And obviously if they won, that would you know, do numbers for people. And Kirk Cernetti's in those conversations for, you know, all-time greats. And it's been a short tenure, but still, just what he's done in a short amount of time that he's been there and able to compete and potentially have his team win the national championship, that says a lot. And that says a lot about him as a coach to be able to do that at Indiana. So, yeah, man, I got I'm going with the underdog here. I keep counting them out, so I might as well just keep counting them out even more, man. Well, I keep counting both these guys out. But I'm going to go with Oregon, man. I really like the way Oregon plays football, and I feel like they're playing some of their best football right now. I think that game was earlier in the season, if I'm not mistaken. No, that was like middle of the season. They're playing some of their best football right now. Continue to do that, get guys back. I mean, Evan Stewart is fast. He's electric. So anytime you get speed on the field, that always helps. DeCorin Moore, true freshman, he's a baller. Kenyon Sadiq tied in. You know, another what's his name? Tied in for the Falcons. Can't remember his name. Went to Florida. He was on my fantasy team. Can't remember his name. Y'all know who I'm talking about, though. He's compared to him, and obviously I feel like he's a little bit better. I feel like he's faster, stronger, quicker. He's really a freak of nature. If you see his build, the way he moves, he's kind of a freak of nature. Kyle Pitts is his name. Kyle Pitts. So, if he can run the football, I mean, it's going to be a hard task with that front seven they have. It's a really good front seven, really strong front seven. But Oregon's been playing physical football, man, and if they can just out-strong them, really, they'll have success running the football, and I think that they'll have success throwing the football. You just can't throw the football that much in this game. You got to be able to control the clock in this game, and I think that's where the game is won, controlling the clock. I'm going to go Oregon 21-17. I'm going to go Oregon. Yep. It's within the spread, but the other way. Spreads opened up at 4, down to 3.5. But I'm going to take Oregon by 4. I'm going to do that. Last time I took a team by 10, they didn't turn out so well. So sorry, Oregon, if it's that's how this game turns out. But, you know, a bit of a shorter one is just me, but there's only 2 games left, man. We're at the end of the season. Down to 4. We're down to 4. The last of it. Enjoy while it's here. Enjoy these last 3 games. Down to the final 4. Down to the wires of the end. It's looking like another Big Ten victory, which sucks, but it's okay. You know, it's got next year. Well, unless Ole Miss wins, but I don't think they're going to. But, yeah, man. Let me know who y'all think is going to win. Let me know what y'all predictions are. Games are on Thursday, so they're here quick. And we all know who's in the Natty by Saturday, Friday night, really. Can't wait. I cannot wait. But that'll do it for my boys over here at Opinionated. As always, welcome.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.